Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
And it's Ask the Expert here on Lunchtime Live. If you're thinking of changing your old car, or perhaps you want to maybe invest in it, Joey Donnelly from Crofton Motors is with me in studio today to answer all of your car and motoring questions. How's things, Joey?
Very good. How are you?
Good, not bad. 087 1400 106. That's the WhatsApp number if you have a question for Joey today. Before we get to the listeners' queries, is it a good time to buy a new car or a second-hand car at this stage in the year?
I think there's always good deals currently, but at the end of a year, obviously all the dealers are looking for their 261 sales and the big January rush coming and people pre-ordering vehicles. So anything that's out there, I'm sure there's going to be some markdowns and discounts. You might have less choice and variance. You mightn't be able to pick your bespoke car, but I'm sure towards the end of a financial year or a year where they're looking at new sales for January, they always have one eye on the future. So it's a good time to try and strike a deal.
So maybe hold out till November or December if you were looking at a, not that I'd be looking at a 251 or a 252, but if you won the cash machine on Friday and you had 100 grand to play with,
great,
you know,
segue,
yeah,
great
is
segue.
That a...
Yeah, I think there's always deals towards the end of a year. I think there's like that, there'll be stock there or ex-demos or cars coming back off fleets and cars coming back off PCPs. So I think the 1 to 3 year old cars, there's lots of value to be had out there, and new cars that will be 252 that might be remaining in stock and registered and they want to get off the forecourt. A trade in and a few quid in your pocket, you'd be definitely able to strike a deal.
Okay, 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number for your questions. This listener, Joey, is looking to buy a used car somewhere between 2013 to 2015. What is a wet timing belt and should I avoid cars with them?
A wet timing belt is exactly that, the old school timing belt that is oil saturated, so it's kind of encased in the engine and it is running in oil to keep it lubricated. Obviously that causes its own issues in terms of a rubberized belt that's soaked in oil over a period of time does degrade maybe a little bit quicker. They're used across a varying amount of brands, Toyota, Honda, the Peugeot, Citroën Group, the Volkswagen Audi Group. They're used quite amongst a lot of the brands in smaller petrol engines. They just require very good maintenance and keeping on top of them, like all cars. If you're on top of the maintenance, they shouldn't cause more trouble than any other engine.
Okay, so they can be got. They're not a thing of the past.
No, they are actually a thing of more the present than the future. Yeah, so a lot of the manufacturers are using them in the small petrol engines.
A listener wants your opinion on whether is it better to get a car, a high mileage newish car, or an older car with low mileage?
We could talk for a day on that. And actually, there's no right answer there. There's lots of high mileage cars out there that have been really well looked after and serviced on the dot every year and have books and books of history. And I have plenty of lots of low mileage cars that come in that are 3 and 4 years old and that have been completely mistreated. So actually, case by case cars, the mileage on the engine, as long as it's been looked after, should be absolutely fine, and more about getting the history of the vehicle and how well it's been maintained up to that mileage, be it low or high.
Okay. Helena says she has an 06 Mercedes CLK. I got her brand new. She's done 85,000 kilometres. I feel I should keep her until she's no more, but some commentators are pushing electric and no appreciation of not renewing, unlike others who over and over again, like some of my so-called eco-friendly friends, changing their cars. Right, this story goes on and on. Anyway, I own all of my car. She's beautiful, has cost the very kettle everything over the years, except the motor tax at over 600 per annum. What does that change as a classic car?
So I think Helena is trying to figure out whether she sticks or twists. She has her old car that she likes to keep on, and I think that's basically what type of a purchaser you are. My dad always said, if you haven't got your back pocket, don't buy a car. He never liked buying stuff on drip. That was my family. I have plenty of friends and families who renew their cars every 2 and 3 years on finance and just keep rolling the finance and like to have a new car in their driveway. This person clearly likes their own vehicle. They've serviced it well and looked after it, and it doesn't owe them anything because they've clearly said they own their own vehicle.
It's low mileage.
It's low mileage again. But yeah, if they've looked after it, there's no reason why they can't kick it down the road for as long as they want. Mercedes also are quite a good manufacturer at keeping parts available for their older vehicles. They don't discontinue a lot of parts historically, so you can keep that car going as long as you wish. Classic car tax is 30 years, so from year of manufacture, so she's another 10 years to go, I think, before she's available for classic car tax. So the €600 road tax will probably still apply until there's some sort of regulation change again.
Okay, Paul in Galway says he drives for work, has to use his own car. I'm a regional manager and I want to know what's the best type of car to upgrade to. My region covers the West and Midlands.
Yeah, well look, if he's out there every day on the road, fuel efficiency, diesel would have always been the classic choice. Comfort, they'd always be the classic choice. But more and more, the long range electric vehicles are just becoming so pointingly obvious that they're in the market now. Before, there was so much anxiety about range anxiety and structured driving with electric vehicles. But I mean, there's vehicles out there with 500 and 600 real kilometres of driving, and they're well competitive in the diesel market. So if, you know, if he's somewhere between 20 and 30,000 kilometres per year, he might be thinking on the diesel side. But there's no reason why he shouldn't consider the electric now, or a partial or some sort of in between, maybe to bridge the gap from that move from diesel to electric.
He's probably thinking though about super fast chargers and charging points, isn't he? You know,
yes,
around the West and the
availability.
And,
yeah, it's really tough. And I think that even if there is a lot of them out there, they seem to be because the sales necessarily, the infrastructure isn't necessarily keeping up with the sales, or they're trying to keep up with the sales. It can be a little bit of a difficult. So that structure piece of how structured your driving is on a day to day. And if that man might be in the back of Beyonds on a particular day and may not know if a charger is there or available, that partial hybrid or partial electrical or a diesel maybe for him. But he's welcome to send me a message and I'll be able to try and trash it out with him.
Okay, good stuff. Listener, looking for your advice on a good brand for a small automatic car for my 19-year-old daughter. I'm thinking something maybe about 6 to 9 years old. Starter car.
Yeah, look, I don't want to say any particular brands. At the minute, because of post-Brexit, we've talked about this before, the kind of US, or the UK market used to kind of prop up the use car market, that has dissipated over time, and the Japanese import has become a very popular market again. There's a lot in the Volkswagen Audi group. I see a lot of young boys and girls driving around in Polos and Audi
A3s. That's what A3s. I had. Yeah. I had a Polo for my first car.
Yeah,
and
my sister
brilliant.
Had one. She called it Polly. So, I mean, they seem to be quite popular, but I don't want to push people into brands. But a small 1 litre, the automatics are very popular because a lot of the Japanese imports are coming in that automatic market. So there's lots of choice out there. Do a bit of digging for reliability. Do a bit of digging in terms of cars, but I think the 19-year-old is probably going to want a bit of street cred, so they'll want to be in something nice and small and nippy that looks well too.
Listener looking to buy their first car, haven't a clue what to do. What are the things I should be looking out for? I don't want a garage to know that I don't know anything about cars. It's a good question.
Yeah, it is a very good question. And look, you would hope that people going into garages nowadays don't have that big, you know, sticker on their forehead saying I don't know anything about cars. And hopefully garages treat people well when they do come in and they realise that a customer mightn't have all the information to hand. But to arm yourself, I think just being a good researcher in advance of what you want to buy in terms of petrol, diesel, hybrid, not going in completely green, and trying to have a little bit of an idea, and also making sure that, you know, you engage with a good independent garage who might do a post-sale inspection. I always say to people, if you're going into a garage, say, look, I'm going to bring it to Joey in Crofton Motors and he's going to inspect this car a couple of days after. I just want you to know that I will be getting it checked. Normally, I don't want to say that weeds out the bad sellers, if there is such a thing, but it normally just lets you know, right, I'm an engaged purchaser. I know what I'm buying here. I'm not going to hand you 10 or 15 grand over without doing a little bit of digging here, and that I am going to bring it to a reputable garage to help me.
And just on that, what are the questions if you're buying a secondhand car? Like, is it questions around the mileage, the timing belt that another listener asked? Like, are they the things you're querying?
Yeah, I think really it's the amount of information they can provide you about the history of the car. Like, a good owner keeps the history of every service they do and has it to hand or has it in their garage. And, you know, when you're buying a car, if the car is being shopped around and serviced in every single garage in the postcode area around you, you're looking at that customer and saying, well, why are they shopping around? Are they shopping around because they're falling out with the garage each time, or they're trying to cheap out on repairs, or they're shopping around? Or you might find a person who's with the same garage for 20 years and has 20 years of service, and that mileage car might be quite high, but they're a really engaged customer. That's who I want to buy a car off. I don't want to buy it off someone who's had the car and I don't really have a service history and I'm not sure, and I got it NCT'd once upon a time, you know.
Yeah, well, funny you mention that. This listener's experience actually emails lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. My daughter bought a car off a car dealer over 6 months ago, and the week after that the car started to lose power. She took it to the mechanic. It was a loose air intake. He noticed that the coolant had been getting into the engine and warned us that this will cause major damage. So we contacted the dealer and he wants nothing to do with it. We got an assessor to look at it also, and he said he believes that this had been going on for a while. Would Joey have any thoughts on where we might stand regarding this? Well, I think it's a dealer and not.
Yeah, and look,
an
there's plenty
purchase.
Of dealers. And again, I'm a member of the SAMI, the Society of Irish Motors Industry, are the lobbying group there that help people. They're registered dealers. If you had a complaint, you could go straight to the SAMI. So a bit like Kitemark or ISO, you do have a capacity there to bring it above their head if they are a certified dealership. But if they're not registered with an organisation like the SAMI, then you're in a bit of a difficult situation and you're back to regular consumer law. Getting an assessor's report is a brilliant thing to do. Mm. Putting them on notice from the first day. So you notice this problem, you send them an email. I bought this car a week ago. I'm already having an issue. I'm putting you on notice here. If I do find this is a problem, I'm getting an assessor's report and I'll want my money back. So again, you're in regular consumer law there. But if
it's
you
a
did
solicitor
have,
you need to engage, is it
maybe
really?
Not a solicitor, but as in just either that motoring assessor, if they are a good independent, will know the law
advice,
there. But
yeah,
a good consumer, you know, person who understands the consumer law, it's like anything, you want to hand it back. If it's faulty and you've bought it in good faith, then you have perfect grounds there to go back, especially if you've put them on notice. Appearing on the 7th month on a 6 month warranty and saying, oh, my car has a bit of a problem and I noticed it 6 months ago but I never told you, doesn't put you in the greatest position. So I always say to people, if you have a little inkling, shoot a little email to them and just say, I'm just having a bit of a worry about this. I'm going to get it checked with my mechanic. I'm putting you on notice. And it just gives you a little bit more strength when it does come to maybe a larger issue that you might want your money back or repairs done.
Okay. Listener, wondering if you've had any experience, is it with the XPeng 6? The Salt released recently.
They're a brand new vehicle to the market. So they
is that
are,
like a BYD?
It is a Chinese brand that's been brought in. It is being brought in by one of the biggest importers of vehicles in Ireland, Motor Distributors Limited. Personally, I know they wouldn't take on a contract unless they felt like they were selling good cars. I think they have huge history in China, a bit like BYD. BYD have been making electric vehicles.
Do you know,
the
I was driving a BYD there for, I had it for a weekend a couple of weeks ago.
Some of these new cars coming in the market are amazing.
I couldn't get over the technology in it.
And
it's imagine
too.
What I think Jess Kelly would drive. Like the amount of tech in this car.
A walking iPhone.
Yeah, it was basically a walking
tech machine. I don't know a lot about them yet, but I think with anything, just do as much research as you can, try and get some information. But the people who are bringing them in know what they're doing, and I would bet they wouldn't be bringing them in unless they knew they were a good car.
Listener says, I have a Volkswagen Golf just past the NCT. On the handbrake test, the fail was 16% or below. Mine was 17%. The handbrake is a switch automatic type. Is it okay as it is, or am I better to park the car in gear to be sure?
It said it's a Volkswagen. If it's an electric handbrake,
switch automatic type.
Yeah, I would say the chances are there might be an issue with one of the calipers or the rear brake pads and discs. Bring it to your mechanic, get them to check it out just to be sure. But I would say there's an issue there with something along the braking. The balance on a well-functioning set of rear brakes should be very, very low in terms of parking brakes. Yeah. So
they're saying it's 17%.
1% over. On another day, it might pass. But I would say worthwhile engaging with your mechanic and just get it checked just for pig iron.
Yeah, okay. And finally, any advice for a 7-seater to accommodate a family with car seats?
A really difficult market to buy in. There is lots of options. There was a load of brands who did, like the Citroen Picasso from 2010 to 2017 was just...
Was it the Picnic used to be
one?
Yeah,
it was the bigger version of that. The 7-seater just seemed to be everywhere because it was the only one in the market at the time. A difficult market to buy in. There is a few specialists around the country who deal only in 7-seaters. I had recent dealings with one locally in Dublin recently and they were brilliant with a family friend of mine. Again, a tricky market to buy in, a bit like that 2013 to 15 market in. Do as much research as you can and see how you go.
Joey Donnelly from Crofton Motors in Dublin. Joey, thanks a million for joining us here on Ask the Expert this Tuesday afternoon.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.